I speak in the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I will, and I am speaking about Saint Augustine of Canterbury. Probably of aristocratic birth, Augustine was prior of the Benedictine monastery of St. Andrew, Rome, when in 595 Pope St. Gregory the Great chose him to lead an unprecedented mission of about 40 monks to England, which was then largely pagan. Pope Gregory was the first of the medieval popes operating under the Byzantine emperor and faced numerous challenges during his papacy, including plague, famine, and threats from the Lombards, a Germanic people who had invaded Italy in the 6th century. The Lombards had largely succeeded the Romans as rulers of the Western Empire. Pope Gregory sought to open up the West to the papacy, and the difficult task given to Augustine is known as the Gregorian Mission. Augustine left Rome in June 596, but on arriving in southern Gaul, he and his monks were warned of the perils awaiting them in Britain, and Augustine was sent back to Rome. There, Gregory encouraged him with letters of commendation, and Augustine set out once more. The entourage eventually landed on the Isle of Thanet in the spring of 597. And were well received by King Ethelbert of Kent. Indeed, the landing in Kent was probably chosen because Ethelbert had married a Christian princess, Bertha, daughter of the King of Paris, Charibert I. As one of the conditions of her marriage, she had brought a Christian bishop named Liudhard with her to Kent. Together in Canterbury, they had restored a church that dated back to Roman times. Ethelbert gave the missionaries a dwelling place in Canterbury and the old St. Martin's Church, I know it well, where he allowed them to preach. King Ethelbert also gave them land outside of the city walls to found a monastery. With Ethelbert's support, the missionaries led to many conversions, including that of the king himself. In the following autumn, Augustine was consecrated Bishop of the English by St. Virgilius at Arles. Thousands of Ethelbert's subjects were reportedly baptized by Augustine on Christmas Day 597, and he subsequently dispatched two of his monks back to Rome to report on this extraordinary event and with a request for further help and advice. They duly returned in 601 with the pallium, a symbol of metropolitan jurisdiction, from Gregory for Augustine, and also with encouraging letters and gifts for the churches. They were accompanied by yet more missionaries, including the celebrated saints Mellitus, Justus, and Paulinus. Gregory, with whom Augustine had corresponded throughout his apostolate, also directed him to purify pagan temples for Christian worship and to consecrate 12 Suffragan bishops. Thus, Augustine was given authority by Pope Gregory over all the bishops in Britain, and the evangelization of the Kingdom of Kent began. Augustine founded Christ Church, Canterbury, as his cathedral, and the monastery of Saints Peter and Paul, known after his death as St. Augustine's. Here, all the early archbishops were buried. St. Augustine's later came to rank as the second Benedictine house in all Europe. Canterbury was thus established as the primatial see of England, a position that has, of course, been maintained thereafter. In 604, he established the Episcopal Sees of London for the East Saxons, consecrating Mellitus as its bishop, and of Rochester, consecrating Justus as its bishop there. A school was also founded to train Anglo-Saxon priests and missionaries. Pope Gregory's original plan was that there would be two metropolitans, one at York and one at London, with 12 suffragan bishops under each archbishop. As part of this plan, Augustine was firmly expected to transfer his archiepiscopal see from Canterbury to London. However, the move never happened. The reason is unclear, but it should be noted that London was not part of Ethelbert's domain. It was part of the Kingdom of Essex, ruled by Ethelbert's nephew, Siebert of Essex, who converted to Christianity in 604. At a conference with British bishops, Augustine tried in vain to get them to submit to his authority and so unify the British Celtic churches of North Wales with the churches he was founding. According to the much later narrative of Bede, the Britons in these regions viewed Augustine with some uncertainty, and their suspicion was compounded by a diplomatic misjudgment on Augustine's part. In 603, Augustine and Ethelbert had summoned the British bishops to a meeting south of the Severn. These guests retired early to confer with their people, who, according to Bede, advised them to judge Augustine based upon the respect he displayed to them at their next meeting. When Augustine failed to rise from his seat on the entrance of the British bishops, they in turn refused to recognize him as their archbishop. So all I can tell you is that the negotiating difficulties over Brexit and within our own Church of England have many, many echoes in history. There were, however, deep differences between Augustine and the British Church that might have played a more significant role in preventing an agreement. Of the issues in dispute were that of the tonsure, the observance of Easter, and practical and deep-rooted differences in approach to asceticism, missionary endeavors, and how the church itself was organized. A second conference, his last recorded act as bishop, archbishop, proved equally fruitless. Augustine was clearly not expert in diplomacy. He was buried at Saints Peter and Paul in Canterbury. And Augustine had been accompanied on the Gregorian mission by Lawrence of Canterbury, his successor to the archbishopric.